Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here on the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. My next guest is Rebecca Gambles on the topic of communicating with animals. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm excited to have you on the show. Not only, you guys can't see her, but not only does she have a background of dolphins on her screen, but she's all about animals. And I, if anyone knows me since I was a kid, I am an absolute animal nerd. Well, specifically dogs, but I loved pigs and frogs and dogs. And I had like hamsters and guinea pigs and bunnies. And like, I'm a real animal lover. So I'm so thrilled to have you as one of many guests that I will be having on my show talking about pets and animals. If you don't know Rebecca, Rebecca is an animal communicator and healer and feels that she is here to be a voice for the animals. I love that. She brings greater awareness to the animal kingdom so that people can realize that they are not just an animal, but another soul whose consciousness is just as evolved as ours. She hopes to inspire people of the importance of animals in our lives today and how your pets may try to bring something to your awareness through their own behavior or through unresolved physical issues. I'm excited to dive into that. Rebecca is also Palladian lightworker practitioner, spiritual mentor, and psychic medium, and is passionate about empowering people to unlock their intuitive gifts and step into the most empowered versions of themselves. She is able to deliver messages from the animal kingdom, the spirit world, and your guides and angels, and offers multidimensional healing sessions to assist you in unlocking your greatest potential in this lifetime. Woo-wee! This is exciting. So thrilled to have you on the show, Rebecca. Before we dive into all of that, and there's so much to get into, can you paint us a picture of how you got into this area? Not just animals, but the more spiritual side of things as well.
Yeah, sure. I feel like when I was a child, I was seeing spirits and I was talking to animals and it was just very natural for me. And I guess I felt at that point that everybody can do that. And then as I got older and kind of realized that it wasn't perceived as normal, I started to shut down my gifts in an effort to fit in. I became a workaholic. I had at one point, I had like three jobs. I was working every day. And I, looking back now, I realize I was actually suppressing my psychic gifts using work as a distraction. And then, yeah, when I was 28 years old, I was inspired to go traveling. And so I quit all of my jobs. I left the UK, which is where I'm from. And I traveled to Thailand, Australia, New Zealand. And from leaving working full time to traveling and having all this space in my life, within about 3 weeks, it felt like I had this massive spiritual awakening. So I started having predictive dreams. I started knowing things about people without really knowing how I knew that. I started seeing spirits again in my dormitory rooms while I was traveling. And I started getting a burning sensation in my hands when I was around people that told me they were ill or they had pain in their body. And I realized that I actually had healing capacities. Like I would put my hands on them and they said, oh, my pain went away, but I didn't really know what was happening. And so I kind of had this massive spiritual awakening where it was quite scary because I didn't really know what was happening. And I started reading a lot of self-help books and kind of mentoring myself in my own spiritual awakening. And then through that process, I started coming across people who would teach me different modalities. So I trained in past life regression, I trained in Reiki. And then when I trained in angelic Reiki, that's when my animal communication came back online. And I was actually sat in my angelic Reiki teacher's house at the end of the training. And I was sat in an empty room, or as far as I was aware, it was empty. And this thought came into my head. And the thought was just, I have a sore leg. And I was confused because I was thinking, I don't have a sore leg. Where did that thought come from? And I looked down on the floor and there was a cat staring at me full on in the eyes. And it just said, again, I have a sore leg. And I was like, oh.
This is a real cat, right? Or no?
This is a real cat. And okay. I was like, I think this cat's talking to me. And I was quite blown away. I think I was about 32 at this point. I was quite blown away because I'd not had this experience so vividly probably since I was a child. And so, you know, the cat said, yeah, I've got a sore leg. It's connected to a past life that I had. So if you can just release that past life for me, then my sore leg can go away. So I ended up doing this impromptu healing on the cat. And I spoke to my angelic Reiki teacher and said, does your cat have a sore leg? And she said, oh yeah, he has been limping recently. And so that was my very first experience as an adult that I'm aware of, speaking to an animal. And so from there, it kind of developed from there. I've trained in lots of other healing modalities, Pleiadian light work, moving forward. But yeah, that was my first experience with the animal communication. And at first I didn't really feel like there was any benefit in it. I didn't really see where I was going to take it. And then I started watching YouTube clips of other people that were doing animal communication. And it really inspired me of like, okay, this is actually a real thing. Mm. And there is value in this.
Well, it is. It's a hot topic. And here's the thing. People love their animals. You know, people love their pets, and they are so sad when they're when the pets are emotionally stressed out or their body is presenting with different physical ailments. And later on, I want to get into the connection between the owner and the pet's physical ailments, if we can. But first of all, that's such a cool journey. For those of you listening, I'm sure some of you can relate with your own personal experience. Did you suppress or shut down your own gifts maybe as a child? I've heard many people mention that before. I would love to hear from you. If that resonates with you, your experience of that, send us a text 2057 or email inbox@realitycheck.radio. For myself, you know, I've always talked to animals, but not in your way. I would love to do it in your way, but no, I do it the old school. Like actually just out loud. I just got home from a meeting. I parked the car and I was like, hello, Fitchy. How are you today? You know, and I like literally I'm talking to the guinea pig, but not in terms of like psychic. And he's not talking back to me. I can hear him squeaking, but that's all I hear. I would love to actually know what he is saying to me. Is this something that is actually more common than we realize, that people can talk to animals or get messages from them?
Yes, it is absolutely common. And it is actually a natural gift that we all have, the gift of telepathy, but we've just forgotten how to use it. So we are naturally communicating with our animals all the time. Whether we're communicating out loud or we're communicating through our own thoughts, our animals know what we're saying and what we're thinking, and they can read our emotions as well. So there is a communication going on there. We just often don't recognize, but you can actually practice, you know, say, for example, you've got a dog, and I used to do this when I was younger with my dog. Rather than saying, hey, do you want to go for a walk out loud, and they respond to the walk, you can actually send them an image in your mind of the lead and maybe going to the favorite forest or the beach, and saying their name and just saying, hey, do you want to go here? But saying it in your mind and showing them the image, and you'll be surprised at how many of them will respond, because they are listening to you telepathically as well. And that's why sometimes our animals can get distressed when someone's thinking something or saying something like, oh, I'm going to rehome my animal because they're not behaving properly. The animal picks up on that. So I do say to people, be very careful about what you are actually saying and thinking around your animal, because they do pick up on everything.
Well, first of all, I'm definitely going to try that strategy of picturing the park and the lead. I have an RCR dog leash, by the way. So I'm going to picture that and the local park, which she loves to go to. And I'm going to do that for sure. In terms of them picking up on our own joy, but also our own anxiety, it was an interesting time for us during the COVID years. Many of my listeners know, I don't really go into too much detail on radio, but in short, my husband and I are polar opposite in our views. We still are. We have been through the whole COVID scenario. And I think the pets, you know, especially the dog, she would literally get in between us. So if we were having a bit of a showdown about it, or even not, you know, even if we're not having a showdown, but we have our independent thoughts and we try to not make it too stressful verbally, but I can tell she literally will stand in between us, usually looking at me, like she, you know, anxiously looking at me and just like picking up on the energy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, animals pick up on energy dynamics, you know, in families, in relationships. So yeah. And yeah, I mean, often what I find is, you know, there's multiple family members, but usually the animal does have a primary soul contract with one of the people. So that may be you, if the dog is responding more strongly to you. Mm. And sometimes the dynamic that they're picking up on is not just from this life. So, you know, we've had past lives with our animals before. We've had past lives with our partners and our children and our parents and everyone before. And throughout our reincarnations, we're often just kind of swapping places. Not all the time. We're not always with the same people, but many times we're with the same people and we're swapping places and having different dynamics. But sometimes what can happen, and this could be the case with you and your partner, if there's a dynamic that's unfolding and the animal was part of that dynamic before, then that it's almost like the same dynamic can play out again in this life. So for me, if I was doing a session for you, I would actually look at if there's anything coming from past lives that's affecting that dynamic as well, anywhere that you had opposing points of view and how the animal was connected to that as well and what actually played out. Because sometimes what happens in this life, sometimes we're reacting to something that's from the past. So we have this extreme reaction to something, but it's not actually about what's happening now. It's about what's happened before. And the animal remembers everything. So they remember where we've been before. And sometimes they're saying, hey, do you remember this happened before? Like, let's do it a different way this time. Yeah.
The concept of past lives will be very new or very triggering possibly to some of our listeners. I want to acknowledge that. I haven't really actively discussed it, not that I can recall, on my show before. However, it's totally something that I'm into and open to. And I know that for some people, it's not the way they think. It's not the way they see the world. And as I always do on my show, I encourage people to just be open-minded, just to listen to what we are conversing about and just see what comes up for you. But for me and for many of our listeners, this will be, in a way, a comforting line of thinking. You know, even for, you know, sometimes I'll say, you know, we are here to learn and grow, which I believe that is what I believe we're here for. And we have, I believe we have different lifetimes. We learn different lessons. Sometimes we repeat the same lessons as different characters with different characters, like you said, some of whom are actually the same people, but playing different parts. What can we learn from our pets if we actually start to tune in and understand what they're trying to tell us? Are there some things that we can look for or listen for to be able to maybe activate this gift that some of us might not be able to activate yet, just yet?
I mean, one of the signs that an animal really wants you to communicate with it is it will sit in front of you and it will stare at you. So they often communicate telepathically through the eyes. Mm-hmm. So if you find that your animal is literally sitting in front of you and staring at you with kind of an intense
face. That's totally what my dog does.
Yeah, your dog is saying, I've got something I want to say to you. So, and like I say, they very commonly communicate through pictures. So when I'm communicating telepathically with an animal, I'm connecting with the eyes. I'm expanding my energy body out so that I'm fully connected with the animal on all levels, whether I'm doing it in person or through a photograph. And then I'm receiving images, words, and feelings from the animal, sometimes all at once. So I'm kind of translating that. So I can feel how the animal feels. They might give me specific words, but most commonly they're giving me pictures. And so I'm sending pictures back to them as well. So if you want to practice communicating with your animal, the best thing to do is sending pictures and receiving pictures.
Okay.
Now, I will say the hardest animals to communicate with is your own animal, because you're emotionally attached to what it's going to say. It's like, oh, do you love me? Then you want the answer to be, yes, of course I love you, you know? So it is actually easier sometimes to communicate with an animal that's not yours, because you're not attached to what it's going to say. And you can just open your mind and allow yourself to receive whatever that animal wants to say to you. So you could even practice it with a wild animal or somebody else's animal, you know, is there a message here for me? And yeah, I think the challenge is really to empty your mind and to trust. Like you know, when you're receiving the information, you are going to feel like you're making it up, because you're receiving the information into your third eye, into the place where your imagination is. So you're going to feel like you're making it up, but it's just really being receptive and trusting whatever you receive that animal wants to tell you. And also we are communicating with our animals without realizing it. I'll give you an example. I used to volunteer at the SPCA center, and there was a lady there. She worked in the cattery, and she said to me, can you go and talk to the cat in the corner? Because I don't know what's wrong with her. She's really not happy. And I said, yeah, sure. What's her name? And she said, Chili. So I said, okay. So I went to the cat and I said, what's the problem? And the cat said, I'm Chili. I'm cold. Can you get me something warm to lie? And so interestingly, the woman who was working in the cattery had named the cat Chili. So wow. She worked with the cats every day. And so she was inspired to call this cat Chili. So the cat was already telling her, hey, I'm Chili. And she named it Chili. But what the cat was actually saying is, I'm cold. So she was naturally receiving that information without realizing it. And that happens all the time. You might be sat watching TV and then suddenly you go, oh, I think the cat needs some water. You think that was a spontaneous thought in your mind that, oh, I'll just fill the cat's bowl. But actually the cat was going, hey, my water bowl's empty. Can you please fill my water bowl? And they told you that, but you don't realize because you thought it was a spontaneous thought of yours. Yeah.
I'm inspired. I'm going to go and practice with the neighbor's cat. We have quite a few cats down my little driveway. And then we just had a puppy move in next door, or they just got a puppy. So a Bernese, I think it's one of those, it's going to be like a big dog and it's so cute. So I'm going to practice with those. But it's interesting to see my dog's journey because a few weeks back I had a woman on and she's a homeopath. And I started using some homeopathic remedies with my dog who has a few medical things going on, like a big lump on her leg that's been growing and it's a little cumbersome for her. She also had hypothyroidism. And was having trouble breathing and was putting on weight like a menopausal woman or something like that. And so, but she's always been, you know, I'm the main person and she'll sit on the floor in the kitchen staring at me and I'll go from the, let's say to the fridge, to the sink, to the oven or whatever. And she'll literally move her position to just always be right in front of me. You know, she's doing these little movements to just get in front of me, staring at me. And then often I'll say, sweetheart, you're all done. You don't have to be on duty. You can go and lie down in your bed, you know, and I'll encourage her to go and lie down. But, and then other times I'm like, honey, you're in the way. And I'll ask her to move out in the kitchen. But now I'm like, what is she trying to tell me?
That's what I'm wondering.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I want to say as well, sometimes animals can exhibit pain or disease in their body that's connected to somebody in the family.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
Sometimes they can exhibit lumps. I've had animals tell me they've taken cancer off people. They can exhibit lumps in their body. They can exhibit disease in their body, which actually is connected to something that a member of the family is also struggling with. So, yeah, they have capacities to kind of pull energy out of you, you know, so they can... Animals are very healing. If you're going through a lot of grief, for example, they can kind of sit on your body and they can help you to release the grief by taking it into their body and then going lying on the earth and releasing it. But they can also do the same with physical ailments as well. They see that you're struggling. So they say, oh, I can help you with that. But then they mirror back to you that very ailment that could be in one of the family members as well. So if I'm doing a healing session for somebody, I will ask the animal where that ailment came from. And if it actually came from a human member of the family, the healing is for that person because the animal can't release it till the person releases it. So yeah.
That is so fascinating. So I want to highlight what you're talking about in case people aren't exactly capturing that. So we've all heard about therapy dogs that go into maybe a hospital or into a school and people can pat them. And there is therapy and therapeutic benefits of being around animals and physically patting them and things. But what you're talking about is that humans can have health or medical conditions, and what the animal can do is actually take on that injury or ailment themselves to, I guess, relieve it from the person, the owner of the, usually their owner, I would imagine.
Yeah, for sure. So I had a dog. I went to see a client who had a dog with a tumor on its chest. And when I went to see the dog, the dog said, it's not mine. She said, I'm taking it from my female owner. And she said, my female owner has breast cancer. And so I said to the woman, do you have breast cancer? And she said, no, but I found a lump in my breast. Mm-hmm. And I said, I highly recommend you go and get it checked out. And she went that week and she was diagnosed with breast cancer, but she wasn't aware. It wasn't until she booked the session for the dog that the dog brought the awareness to the fact that she was having that ailment. So yeah, it's like energetically they can kind of take it on and lay it in their own body. Yeah.
Okay. So to follow on from that, can they not only present it and display it in terms of awareness, but can they also diminish it? Meaning her breast cancer wasn't as bad because the dog had taken, is that a thing?
Yeah. So I met a cat who only had three legs, and I was just around at a friend's house and the cat was there, and she went in the kitchen to make a cup of tea. And I said to the cat, what was your owner learning about through you losing a leg. And the cat said, my owner wasn't learning anything. I took the cancer from my mom and I put it into my leg. And then when the leg was removed, the cancer was gone. And so when my friend came back in, I said, is this true? And she said, yeah, my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer, but after the cat had the leg removed, she got the all clear. So the cat actually took the cancer and then released it from her body, and the woman didn't have cancer anymore. So it's absolutely amazing. Like, I'm sure there's many people that just like, that's not a thing. Like, it sounds unbelievable, but our animals are doing this for us.
No, I'm like literally blinking back tears in my eyes, but I imagine some listeners will be rolling their eyes. And it is what it is. But I'm excited because what I shine the light. That's what I do. And I'm shining the light on the possibility for people that this is actually a thing. I mean, I think it is a thing, but some people will be very resistant, triggered, apprehensive. But I love just saying, hey, you know what? Maybe. And what if? And if you look at your life and you think about your pets in the past, because most people, not everyone, most people have had, I imagine, a pet at some point. And if you look back, you know, maybe some of this is actually the case. What other examples can you share with us today?
I just want to follow on from that. And I do want to say that sometimes the animal has agreed to pass from whatever it is they've taken. So say, for example, if they take cancer from somebody, they may actually agree to pass with that cancer so that the owner, the human companion, doesn't have to pass from it themselves. And that's a contract that the animal has agreed to. So, you know, they've agreed to come into your life. They've agreed to do that for you and to pass in that physical body with that disease. And often this can bring up guilt for people because they say, oh, I didn't want my animal to die. You know, I would rather they lived. But what the animal is actually often says to me is they're not attached to that particular body. So animals are aware that they can reincarnate over and over again. And many of our animals will do in our lifetime. They will come back sometimes in different animal bodies, like they might be a dog and then a horse or a cat. They can come back again and again with the same people. So they don't have an opinion of death because they know, well, I'm just going to pass in this body. I'm going to release cancer from you or whatever it is they're releasing. And then I'm just going to come back in a new body as a new kitten and you're going to find me again. And everything's great. But obviously, because we don't realize that, we think we've lost that particular animal and we don't recognize that the same animal is back in a new body. But often there's signs because the animal will have the same personality or the same traits. I mean, there's an amazing film called A Dog's Purpose. There's two, A Dog's Purpose and A Dog's Journey, and it speaks about this very thing. Highly recommend watching it if you like the idea of animals reincarnating again and again, because it's the same dog that moves through these different dog bodies and has different lives with all these different people, but it's still connected to the original family at the start of the movie. And it's such a beautiful film. I cried when I watched it, and it just felt like it was so close to my own heart, because this is what animals are saying. They love us so much that they are literally willing to do that for us.
When you're talking about contracts, just to clarify some terminology for my listeners, you're talking about a soul contract, yes?
Soul contract that we've agreed before we came here. I'm going to come, I'm going to be your dog, and I'm going to come at this point in your life. So animals have these agreements with us, and sometimes it's because they know we're about to go through something very challenging. So they're like, okay, in a few months' time, maybe you're going to experience an illness or a death or a divorce or whatever it is. So I'm just going to come in prior to that so that I can become your support system, so that when you go through that, I'm there for you to support you. So animals are often coming in as a source of support for us when they know that we're going to be going through something very difficult. So that's how they say it to me, is it's a soul contract. I've agreed to do this. Mm. And so that soul contract runs for a period of time, whether that's 22 years or 3 months. You know, we can't be attached to how long that time is. Obviously, all of us want our animals to grow old and live to the longest they possibly can. But with my last cat, for example, she died at 4, and I loved that cat so much. And I said to her, why are you leaving now? And she said, this is my agreed exit point. We've done what we came here to do. And now I'm going so that I can be with you. She said, you're about to go traveling and I want to come with you. And I can only come with you if I leave this physical body. And I had no awareness at that time that I was going traveling, but she knew And then 6 months later, I was traveling, and I feel her with me in spirit now. She's not in a physical body. So yeah, they know when they're coming in and they know when they're going out, and there's no accidents with them leaving either. So even if your cat ran under a car and was killed, yes, that's very sad, but the animal knows what it's doing. It's like, this is my exit point. This is, I'm doing this for a reason. And sometimes it is with death. Sometimes it's because we are holding on to grief in our heart that we haven't dealt with, possibly from other situations in our life. And actually losing an animal is often the time when people really will grieve. And that allows our heart to kind of open and release everything that we've been holding on to. And then we receive healing from that. You know, our heart breaks open. And we release whatever we're holding on to, so that sometimes an animal can choose to die so that we can process that grief. And then they just come back in again in a new body once we've processed that.
Absolutely. And I talk a lot about expressing instead of suppressing emotions, but often we do suppress them. And like you said, sometimes we won't express them until something like opens the floodgates. And it might just be that the death of a pet that helps us to heal.
Yeah. Yeah. And often with animals, you know, they feel what we're suppressing. So sometimes they will take it on as well. So if you're holding on to anxiety, for example, you might suddenly find that you've got a very anxious dog. Mm. And what I find interesting is a lot of people aren't willing to pay money for themselves. You know, it's fine, you know, I'll just struggle on. But as soon as their animal's exhibiting something like anxiety or a pain in their body or something, it's they're just willing to do anything for that animal. So then they will book a session for that animal. And I kind of feel it's quite magical how it happens, because, you know, I offer sessions for people and for animals, but often the people book for the animal, and then I get there and then the animal says, oh, I don't need the session. My human companion does. And so the session is actually for the person, but they wouldn't have chosen it for themselves. They chose it for the animal, but the animal says, well, I'll get better when you release the anxiety, when you release the whatever it is you're holding on to. So when they can acknowledge, oh, this is actually going to help my animal, then they are willing to release it themselves.
That is so common. And people do the same thing with kids. You know, they'll come in for the kids, they'll book a session for the kids, and then it'll, you know, it's what do they have to release? And same thing for the pets. It's so fascinating. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. Today, we're focusing on animals. We're talking about communicating with animals. I'm chatting with Rebecca Gambles, and we would love to hear your stories about maybe your pets and what they told you, or maybe what they helped you heal from. If you happen to have a story to share that you're happy for us to mention on air, we would love to hear. 2057 on the text or inbox at realitycheck.radio. It's interesting, Rebecca, when I think of my family, and I've got, I came from a family of three girls. I'm the middle child. And I, while my sisters loved animals, I was the pet child. You know, I was the one that was obsessed with animals. And when I look at my own family, I've got three children myself. It's like my youngest boy. I often describe him, oh, he's my pet boy, which basically means he's my one who loves the pets. Like, we have lots of pets. He's the one that I would trust and instill, you know, if there was anyone that needed to look after them or go and take care of them, you know, he would be the one. He's just more involved and more. So do you find that some people just have maybe a stronger connection with animals than other people? And I guess that's part of their own life journey, if not their path. Like, I didn't become a vet myself, or I did want to own a pet store when I was younger, but I didn't follow the animal path, but they've always been present in my life. Is that something that some people more than others?
Yeah, it just seemed to be that way. Like, some people seem to have a real affinity with animals. They have a real empathy and they have a lot of compassion for animals. And then I meet other people who don't seem as connected to animals. It's not something that interests them. So I do think it is a natural affinity that certain people have. Yeah, for sure.
How else can we support our pets? Let's go that way. You did mention anxiety and how sometimes it's the person themselves that is also anxious. But what are some specific practical things that we can maybe look out for? You talked about them staring into our eyes. What else can we look for so that we can support our animal and probably support ourselves in the process?
That's a good question. I mean, our animals are responding to us. So, you know, and so many people I meet, they just want their animals to be happy. They're like, you know, I'll buy them all these toys. I'll get them the best food. They treat the animal better than they actually treat themselves. You know, the animal's getting like the deluxe fish or whatever. And maybe they're just eating something simple, but it's like, the animal will always be responding to your energy. So yeah, it's like, what can you do to help yourself as well? One of the most common things I hear animals say is, my owner never stops. They never sit down. They never rest. You know, I had a communication with a dog, and the owner wanted to know, why does my dog walk so slowly? She frustrates me. She sniffs every flower. She never keeps up with me. She's annoying me. And the dog said, "Will you just slow down? Will you slow down and smell the flowers and be present in the moment? Because there's so much beauty in the now, and you're storming ahead thinking about the next thing on your to-do list, when this is, the gift is here in the now." So I find a lot of animals say this, that they perceive humans to be rushing around. You know, we're all so attached to being productive, and it can create like this chaotic energy in the house, where there's a lot of movement and not a lot of peace. So I find one of the things that animals ask a lot of people is, can you just slow down?
Wow.
Can you actually just take 20 minutes to sit with me? And, you know, especially with cats, like, they like to sit on you and help to kind of ground your energy and calm you down. Yeah, being more present and being more grounded, like in the now, the animal will relax more. So that's definitely one thing I would say, with regards to helping your animal.
I'll just jump in there, because confession time. You know, so I remember I mentioned my dog's gained a bit of weight. She's even had trouble breathing. And I'll take her to the reserve, which I love to do because I love nature. I'd much rather walk in the reserve than in the streets on the concrete. And I love to let her off the leash because I just love for her to be like free range. But she sticks to me like glue. I have to go like, sweetheart, go and run, like be free. But no, she'll literally be so close to me. And then sometimes, though, lately, I'm walking and I look back and she's, you know, 50 meters away behind me, and I become the motivator, the cheerleader. Come on, sweetheart. You've got this. Come on, girl. You know, not like, why are you so lazy? But come on, sweetheart. Like, you know, I'm becoming the coach, the motivator. But then I started leaving her at home because she just can't keep up with me. So, okay, I'm going to take some of what you're saying on board. But I also started to take some of her health needs more seriously, going, okay, I really need to look into it. And I mean, it wasn't until she had a urinary infection, because she had actually blood in her urine, that I was like, oh my gosh, she's peeing every 10 seconds. This is not normal. I'm going to take her to the vet. And they were like, no, she's totally got a urinary infection and she's got this hypothyroidism. So maybe I should get my thyroid checked.
Well, yeah, it's definitely worth a thought for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. How else can we support our pets to be more healthy while also possibly supporting our own health if we actually are looking at it holistically?
Yeah, I think the other thing I was going to say was actually be willing to receive for yourself. So actually be willing to do your own work, your own inner work, nurturing yourself, loving yourself, and coming back to the self does support your animal, because then they're not needing to take whatever it is that you're holding on to, whether it's anxiety or grief. So the more you actually do your own inner work, that does support your animal, and you're, you know, looking after your own physical health as well. Yeah, it all comes back to the self. Yeah, because they're so connected to us, and yeah, they feel everything that's going on in the family. I mean, it's interesting, you know, I can talk to an animal and they can tell me what's going on with a teenage girl in the family that none of the rest of the family know what's going on. You know, oh, she's being bullied at school. Nobody else knew that she was being bullied at school, but the cat knew, because she's coming home from school and she's locking herself in a bedroom and the cat's there and the cat's feeling what she's experiencing. So our animals are so aware of what's going on for every member of the family. And they will come and support us energetically with what's going on. So, and like I say, there's no guilt with that because they've agreed to it. But the more we can take responsibility for ourselves and be like, okay, I've got this coming up for myself, and I'm going to, you know, have a session for myself or whatever it is that you require, do some self-care, that does benefit your animal.
One of the things I'm loving about this interview so much is this show is all about empowerment, right? So I want to empower people, whether it be fitness, health, wellness, parenting, business, whatever. And I know a lot of people struggle when their kids don't tell them what's going on. You know, like, oh, my daughter tells me everything. It's like, well, does she though? You know, and I actually had someone in one of my groups. I'm in an alopecia group. My son has no hair. So we could ask the pets about that one because we still don't know why. But anyway, I'm in this group. And one of the moms was just saying, you know, I really would love some support with my daughter. She's not being open with me. And now I can go back to her and say, hey, why don't you book a session? If you have an animal in your house, you could book a session with Rebecca. I love that it just gives people another avenue, another pathway to try or to travel down in order to empower themselves in their parenting or in order to empower their teenager or their kid. Or maybe their baby's so young, their baby can't talk, but guess what? The animal can. And I love that if people are open to that, that this is another way for them to be more empowered in their own life. So where do you live? How do you work? I imagine you work on Zoom. You don't need to see the animal, obviously. Do people have to hold up a photo? How does it work?
So I live in the Bay of Islands at the moment in New Zealand. Nice. And I work remotely. I do go and see animals in person if people are local to me. But the majority of my sessions are done online. So how it works is people send me a photograph of their animal looking at the camera so I can connect in with their eyes, and they give me their name. And then from there, I'm just connecting in with the animal. I'm expanding my energy to connect with that animal on every level. And then I'm having a conversation with the animal, and I'm talking to the person on Zoom. So I've got the photo in front of me on my phone, and I'm talking to the owner on Zoom. And so from there, I can just relay exactly what the animal is saying to me back to them. And then they can, you know, if they've got any questions, then they can ask as we go along. I usually find the sessions are about 75 minutes to 90 minutes, and it can go into anything. You know, it can go into, you know, there could be past life energies coming up of like how you knew each other before. They could tell me about other family members. They can also tell me about spirits that might be in the house, because animals are very sensitive to ghosts. Mm-hmm. So they know if there's somebody there that's not meant to be there. So if that's the case, because I'm a medium as well, then I can also talk to the spirit and be like, hey, why are you in the house? You're not meant to be living there, and ask the spirit to move on. And also they can give advice. Actually, I really love, I absolutely love talking to animals, because they just tell you the truth. There's no like trying to be nice. They just be like, this is what my owner's doing. This is how they need to change, because they see it so clearly.
Oh, I love that.
And it's just so, yeah, there's no gray area. It's just very like clear, you know? And sometimes the information that comes through is just so profound. You know, sometimes I'm like, I need to write that down. Like it's just such profound messages, you know, that come through. So the session, I never really know how the session's going to go, but yeah, I'm just open to whatever comes up, and basically I talk to the animal through the photograph, and then any healing that's required, whether it's clearing past lives or releasing spirits, or I can flow angelic Reiki distantly as well. I do that for the animal, the person who's booked the session, and any family members as well that are connected to that person that are coming up in the session. So it might be like multiple children, parents. I usually find my sessions are generally about 5 to 7 people, and the animal that I'm talking to. And I can talk to multiple animals as well. So I did go to an animal communication in person once. It was for 3 horses. They said, can we book you for 3 horses? So half an hour each. For the 90 minutes. And when I got there, there was a whole field of horses, 12 horses. I ended up speaking to every single horse, because what happened is they got in line and they started walking towards me. And as the first one finished talking, another one would come in, and I ended up speaking to the entire herd. It was the most amazing communication I've ever done, just because of the way the animals just, I wish I'd filmed it, because it was so profound to see the horses queuing up to speak to me.
Hey, wait, do you mean actual horses? Like there were 3 actual horses, but were all 12 of them actual horses or spirits?
They were all horses.
Okay.
Yeah. So there were 3 horses that they needed me to speak to, because they had physical ailments, behavioral problems. But because the 3 horses were in a herd, when I got there, everyone else went, oh, I've got something to say as well.
Oh my gosh.
But they just queued up.
Oh my gosh.
Fascinating.
You know, speaking of queuing up, so I'm a business coach and I do arrange, you know, I do events now and then. But what I'm thinking is if you ever come to Auckland, let me know. And we could literally do like one day where people just book in. But if they do want to see you in person, that would be really cool. Let's just keep that in mind. But if someone's listening and they do want to book a Zoom session with you for, and I love the fact that it's like you can cover multiple pets and multiple people. What is the best way for them to reach out and connect with you?
They can find me on my website at rebeccagambles.com. So they can book a session through there. I've got a booking system. I also have Facebook pages. So my Facebook page is Rebecca Gambles Animal Communicator. The actual website is Facebook/Animal Companions. Mm-hmm. You can actually find a lot of stories on there that I've written about the things that animals say to me. So Sometimes I share people's sessions with their permission because the information that comes through is so profound. But those are the two best places to contact me with regards to booking a session. Yeah.
So good. All right. I'd love to ask you a few of the classic questions I ask most of my guests. The up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave, what would you do or not do in the remaining months of 2024?
It's interesting, the answer to the question, because I actually feel like I already am up in my brave for 2024. I have had a massive fear of cameras my whole life. And the last few months I've been saying yes to podcasts. I've been putting myself out on video. And also 4 years ago, I was guided to run a dolphin retreat in the Bahamas. And I was, when I got given the opportunity, I was so terrified that I actually didn't do it. And this year I've actually said yes to it. And I'm running it in 6 weeks' time in the Bahamas on the 1st of September. And it's the biggest commitment I've ever made. And yeah, so it's, I actually feel like this year already, I have been up in my brave. I think moving forward from that, I think the next thing I would like to do is write a book about animal communication.
Oh, amazing. I think people would be so into that. And congratulations for upping your brave. And on September the 1st, we'll be thinking of you in the Bahamas. All right, we're going to wrap things up, but I'd love to ask you, is there anything else that you'd love to share with our listeners before we go?
I think I just want to share, you know, just to really acknowledge like how much our animals are of service to us and just what a gift they are to us. And yeah, I don't like that saying, oh, they're just an animal. Like, I feel like they are just as evolved as us. They're just as conscious as us. I just really want to acknowledge them actually as the gift that they are. And hopefully this podcast will help people to realize, like, you know, if your animal's behaving in a strange way, or it's displaying an injury, for example, that came out of nowhere, keeping an open mind that actually that animal might be trying to show you something, and maybe there's a message there for you.
What a beautiful note to end on. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. Have fun, go away, and communicate with your animals.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. So connect with us today.